Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from our Lord and Heavenly Father. Worldly eyes. I'm probably the only political junkie in this place. But did you watch any of the stuff yesterday, wall-to-wall coverage of 14 states? All the good things about worldlyism, right? And you're seeing how the Democratic candidates, different ones, are dropping out. And I loved it always when people say, I'm in it for the full deal. And then the people get knocked off. Man, wouldn't you love to have the money that Bloomberg had? $500 million. Worldly. If I said that person is a worldly person, a worldly man or a worldly woman, what does that conjure up? It might conjure up a couple things. It might mean the person has a lot of experience in what they do. My brother is an electronics engineer. Every day of my life that I talk to him, I say, what do you do? His response always is, I keep your airspace safe. He's a contractor for the Department of Defense. Enough said. I have a son who's going to be a mechanical engineer. And he said, if it doesn't involve mathematics, I don't even want to know about it. Very worldly. But then we also can think about worldliness in a kind of a negative, can't we? Where the person is running after this thing or that thing. They have the newest gizmo gadget. Could be a phone, could be the multiple TVs. I was great. This past week, I had a TV which I had used literally a day before. And it wasn't a big screen TV. It was a black box, about 20 inches. It weighed too much. It's worth nothing. It's not even a good boat anchor. I love it when my trash is not good enough. You guys ever had that problem? I one time wanted to take a piece of things to the dump, and I couldn't take it to the dump. It was too bad. Worldly world around us. The emperor and Rome, Pilate, had some similar situations. He was a worldly man. He knew what he was doing. The governor served at the pleasure of the emperor. And the emperor was all-powerful and knowledgeable. Pilate wasn't really worried about personal situations, except his own. He wasn't really so much worried about Judea and the Jews. They were actually kind of a major nuisance in his life. As one commentator says, Pilate and his peers pursued a systematic policy of persecution and provocation of the Jews. They were a nuisance. So when Jesus is before him, he really doesn't want to deal with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. They're just a nuisance. So he asked the question of Jesus. What is truth? And he fully expected Jesus, I think, to give him an answer. Because he has high status, he should at least get some judgment out of that. And what's Jesus' response? It's as you say. Not really a good answer by Pilate's perception. But he was a pragmatist. Said these people are just jealous of Jesus. So I often release somebody at my feast. And this guy, Barabbas, is a pretty bad guy. Got involved in all kinds of fights, insurrections. Just generally not a nice person. I'm sure he's thinking in his own mind, there's no way they're going to want this man released into the community because there's this disruption to the community. And Jesus, he's pretty weak, he's pretty frail. Yeah, he's a rabbi, but you have one rabbi, you've had another one, so one more running around the street corner doesn't really bother me. He's just a nuisance like everybody else. I can imagine Pilate was somewhat shocked when they said, "Release to us Barabbas." So Pilate says, "If this is what you want, I'll give you what you want." He beats Jesus and then has him crucified. There was already a crucifixion set for that day. Two men were already going to be executed. Why not add one more? And then we get to see the soldiers get into the whole game. They had been down this path before. They were professional executors. They robed up Jesus, put a crown of thorns on him, "Hail, King of the Jews," then spat on him and mocked him. "You are the King of the Jews." They certainly didn't believe that in a minute. The worldly eyes of Pilate before the emperor, the worldly eyes of the soldiers seeing a rather frail man beaten and flogged. What a joke. The King of the Jews. You and I, as God's people, almost 2,000 years later, we've gotten to see from the prophets and now the gospel writers, the stories are told. And then eventually Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18. And then he says, "But I bear a truth." And here's the truth. "I am a king. But not of this world." Not of this world. And the crowds again respond, "Crucify him, crucify him." How important it is for us to hear those words again in our lives in the beginning of our Lenten season. To recognize that it wasn't just a few people, but a multitude of people that put Jesus on the cross. You and I, as God's people, have the benefit of Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension. And yet he's coming back. We know the verse, John 3:16, don't we? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." He died for you and he died for me. Normally, my wife comes along with me on these events because we love to go out to different parishes, meet different people, have different foods and those kind of things. Wow, three soups, what one of them? I don't know if you guys always make soup so well. It's really, really great. But she's not here today because she's not even on the West Coast. She's on the East Coast. Everybody know what happened on Sunday, March 8th, right? It's either a great day or a bad day. Time change day, right? Depends upon who you are. Well, that also has a different meaning in my life. That's when my granddaughter turns 1 year old. 1 year. And if anybody wants to see videos, my lands, I've got videos on my phone. I've taken none of them. But I've got pictures, I've got videos. You know, in my congregation, I was asked the parents, or now it's not parents, but grandparents and great-grandparents. If you don't have a picture, don't even bother saying you're a grandparent, because you're not. But we think of those worldly things are important to us, aren't they? Celebrations of birthdays, anniversaries. And for you and I as God's people, the great celebration of Easter. When we realize that our Savior who died on Good Friday, not but 3 days later, is raised victoriously. How the sins of ours were removed from us on our baptism. Again, when we just had the absolution, again, at the Lord's table. How many times do you and I have the opportunity to receive forgiveness from God? We are not burdened by sin and shame and guilt, but we are freed. I'm a very blessed man because the congregation I serve, my office, if any of you folks have been to Walport, out of my office I get to see the Alsea Bay, and I also get to see the Pacific Ocean. I don't use that office very often. You know why? I like water. I grew up on the East Coast, on the Chesapeake Bay, on the Atlantic Ocean. So that brings me back to my memories of childhood, so I have to go someplace else to work. When I come to my office, it's almost like playtime. But does not God give us wonderful things in the world around us? House and home and car, spouse. He wants us to enjoy those creature comforts, but also recognize that the world is not a place of where you're saved. You're saved only by Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. We too sometimes can ask that same question, a postmodern question of Pilate. What is truth? And truth ultimately boils down to learning of what God gives to us, salvation in Christ. So simple and so small that a 2 or 3 year old can expound on it, but so dynamic that people of 100 continue to search those scriptures. Worldly eyes. May you and I have the eyes which God wishes us to have, that of love, care, concern. In Jesus' name, amen. And now with the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.